This is the day which the Lord has made. We will, amen, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter 5. We're going to be talking about a story today. And in the body of believers, there is hurt, there is pain, there is suffering, is there not? I don't think this church is any different than the other churches out there across the world, that there's pain and suffering and hurting out there. And today's message is, Lord, heal me. And I want to look at a couple things that we need to do on our part to help the Lord heal us. We have to be open to healing. He can heal us anyway, but I'm just saying we have to be open. He asked us to be open, and we'll look at some of the things that we need to do on our side. We'll also look in this Bible story with some maybe misguided information that this character in the Bible had, thinking that needed to happen. And you guys may have some of that misguided information as well, thinking, well, it can only happen this way or in this term. So as we turn to Luke chapter 5, looking at the biblical story, it's going to be starting in verse 21. Luke chapter 5, verse 21. And by the way, I know that there are those that are watching us on Facebook Live that they're hurting, they're suffering, they have illness, they have disease, they have pain, they have problems that they're going through. And this is problems that any of us are going through. From our young people sitting back there, to our middle age, to our older folks, to everybody, we all have problems that we face. So let's look, Mark chapter 5, verse 21. By the way, what is it that afflicts us? I'm sorry, I said Luke a couple times. Mark. I was back and forth and I decided to go with Mark chapter 5. Sorry. Mark chapter 5. But what we suffer from is the affliction of flesh. Our flesh gets in the way. Our flesh is not perfect. And the things all contained in our flesh are not perfect. And so we have problems. We struggle. We hurt. We agonize. We heal. We rejoice. We cry. We mourn loss. And in Mark, let me make sure I get that right. Mark chapter 5, thank you for calling me out on that. Chapter 5, verse 21 is where we'll start today. And it says, now Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side. And a great multitude had gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, and he begged Jesus earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. And so Jesus went with him and a great multitude followed him and they thronged him. And I thought, my goodness, as we look at this story, we already see that Jesus went there. He has already amassed a great multitude following him. And he started doing some healing. He started doing some miracles. And he went here and it was no different. Here comes Jesus, a large group is waiting, another larger group comes behind and they join him. So he had this great following. Now this lay leader of the synagogue came up to him and said, my daughter is sick, she is on her deathbed. And he pleads with Jesus, he said, Jesus, please, if you can just come and lay your hand on her, I know that she will be healed. Says in verse 25, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. Many of you have suffered many things over the years and through many different physicians. You understand what she's going through. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather she grew worse. Now, when the leader of the synagogue called Jesus, what did Jesus do? I've got to go. And he went. Now, Jesus didn't have to go there or anywhere else, but he said, this guy's pleaded with me. I will go there to where this young lady lies. And as he's going there, came up this other woman that had the flow of blood for 12 years. And it said it grew worse. Verse 27 says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and she touched her garment. Now, why did she do that? It tells us right afterwards. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Now, she knew enough to say, if I just go there and touch. She was desperate. Many afflictions through many physicians, spent all her money, and not only did she not get better, but she got worse. And now she's desperate. And I'm telling you, church, we get in places of desperation and despair and death, facing death. They make us stretch out and stretch up and stretch our faith. But let me tell you, our posture and our position, when we do those things, can help heal you or not. Let me explain what I mean. Psalm 146, verse 8. And it says, the Lord raises those who are bowed down. We've got to humble ourselves and kneel down and pray. If we are too proud to bow down to Jesus Christ, our Savior, I don't need to bow down. I can stand up straight and talk to him. Yes, but it says he raises those who are bowed down. I'm not saying that you're not healed because you refuse to bow down or you're too proud to bow down. But I'm saying that our posture and our position impacts and affects what Jesus Christ can and will do to us and for us. We have to be able to be humble before the Lord. He's got no place for people with pride. Too proud to bow, too proud to pray. Maybe too proud to be healed. I don't know. So the woman pressed in. We read on and it says, after she said she touched his clothes, in verse 29 it says, immediately the fountain of blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and he said, who touched my clothes? The woman felt the power. She felt healing in her body. Jesus Christ lost power. He felt healing in his body. It was her healing that he felt in his body, though. Both felt the healing power. Of course, the disciples, seeing what was going on and seeing the multitude, said, you asked Jesus, who touched you? There's this whole mass around you. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing to him. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, she came and she fell down. Church, she postured herself before him and fell down before him. She told him the whole truth. By the way, church, when you tell him the half truth, he knows the whole truth. But he just likes us to confess the whole truth to him. And he said to her, daughter, your what has made you well? Your faith. Daughter, your faith has made you well. In verse 34, go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Man, what a powerful thing. The woman pressed in. She took action. She pressed in. And we've talked about this before. By the way, there are tons of healing scriptures and things that we can do. Those of you that are sick, come before the elders of the church. Let them anoint you. Let them pray over you. May the prayer of faith, the prayer of faith and prayer of faith, heal you. This is one story I want us to look at to say, okay, here's some action. Here's two people that are needing healing. One was on their deathbed, and the other one was just going through an affliction for years. By the way, that healing that we need, that could be a physical healing. It could be a spiritual healing, a mental healing, an emotional healing. To think that none of those things matter or they're all just easy things, you can get over it. No, these things are weights that can drag us down and slow us down and at times hold us down. I love when we sing that song, Ain't No Grave. Ain't no grave can hold Jesus Christ and the power, the healing power He has over us. But Jesus tells her, as we just read in verse 34, He said to her, Daughter, your faith has made you well. He told her, He explained to her, went through and said, This is what made you well. Your faith. Because you had faith to come touch the hem of my garment, that made you well. Your faith that would do it made you well. So we read on to the other story, verse 35. And it says, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, and they said, Your daughter is dead. Because remember, he's on his way to the ruler of the synagogue's house to check on the daughter. And the guy said, If you will just lay your hands on her, she will be healed. So Jesus is on his way. The crowd is following him. He's already healed one person because she had faith and touched the hem of his garment. Now he's going on to the ruler of the synagogue's house, and that's when someone came up and said, Your daughter is dead. Why bother troubling the teacher anymore? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, Do not be afraid. You remember what the angel said to the shepherds out in the field when they appeared? Do not be afraid. And he said, Do not be afraid. Only what? Only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Now, I don't know who his crowd control was, but that had to be a big feat to hold people back from following Jesus. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he saw a tumult, and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. Now listen what happened after that in verse 40. And they ridiculed him. The ruler of the synagogue said, went to Jesus and said, Come lay hands that she may be healed. And he gets to the guy's house, and all those around started mocking him. And they said, Don't bother with Jesus. Your daughter's dead, when they were on the way. Now, some of you may have people in your life, it's time to remove them. Because they say, Don't bother with that Jesus malarkey. It's a done deal, and Jesus can't do anything for you or them. They may mock you when you get up and go to church. I took a boat trip one time, or a camping trip, call it what you want, with some boats, with a friend of ours. And my wife and I were out there, and I woke up on a Sunday morning, and I heard this beautiful noise. And it was music playing across the lake. And it was a group having a church service across this little cove area. Adios, my drunken friends. I headed off. I said, Where are you going? I said, I'm going to church today. And I was mocked and ridiculed for that. Until that person started going to church and gave his life to Christ. And he said, I've never forgot that day. Because I made fun of you, but inside I admired you for going. Let me tell you, there may be people ridiculing you for your faith and your Jesus and your church. But on the inside, they may also be burning, saying, I wish I had that. They ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, and that's where they belonged, by the way, out of his business area, he said, I'm getting ready to do my father's business. Get out of here. And he put them outside. And he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, with Jesus, and he entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand. And he said to her, Talitha kumai, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. And then, as Jesus often did in verse 43, and I still don't understand why he did this, but he commanded them strictly that no one should know it. And some said something should be given to her to eat right away. Now I'm thinking, if everyone said she's dead, they don't need to say anything. They're going to know it anyway when she walks out of that place. And she was healed. And I think the woman was healed by pressing in. The little girl was healed by the father going. But I told you there will be some things that we have to learn. And we already read in the first one, it said, your faith has healed you. And then just now for the father in verse 36, he said, do not be afraid, only what? Only believe. So we have to have faith, and we have to believe that what this says it will do and what he says he will do will happen. Now, I said there was some misguided information. Let's flip back to where we first started. Mark chapter 5. Get the right place here. In verse 23, I want to go back and read a line in there. And that's where the guy was misguided slightly. He begged Jesus earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed. He had faith, but it was slightly misguided that he thought, Jesus Christ has to come and do this in person. Now, some of us may think the same thing. Oh my gosh, none of this can happen. Jesus isn't walking around. I don't see him. I need Jesus to physically appear to me and heal me. Do I need to remind us all that we are the hands and feet of Jesus? Healing is in us to go out and do. Then in chapter 7, Jesus goes on and he does more healing. He heals a deaf mute. He heals other people. Says he goes into the town. Many touch him and are made well. In Mark chapter 6, chapter 7, more are made well. And again, he said he wanted no one to know it when he had done some more healing. You know, Psalm 30, verse 2. It says, and I love the book of Psalm. And it says, O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. And I think, church, at times, our cry sounds more like, Lord, could you help me, please? I'm sorry, what? And the Lord hears us. But that says, I cried out to you. You heard me and you healed me. The book of Psalms is covered with verses that say, I heard you and I healed you, or I will heal you. I heard the plea of my people. Now, if we are the hands and feet of Jesus, we can heal others. We should be able to heal ourselves. Now, I want to be very careful when I say that. we have the opportunity to do that. Because as you remember, even the disciples, just a few chapters after where we just read, Jesus came up. They were having a little disagreement or an argument, if you will, because they were trying to heal someone, the demon-possessed boy. And they were arguing, saying, why could these guys not do it? And Jesus said, oh, this comes by doing this. So we've got to be careful. When the disciples couldn't heal, we may not be able to heal, because that may not be God's will. Now, He'll heal all in the end. But Philippians 4:13 says what? I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. Now we have a choice. We get to say, do I get to press in? Do I even want to press in? God, that's a lot of effort, God, for me to get out of my house, go down to where Jesus is walking, and then I've got to fight the crowd there. I guess it depends on how bad you want the healing. But this woman, 12 years, multiple afflictions, multiple physicians, and was getting worse. Don't sell yourself short, church, that anything's a done deal. We have to make a choice. Do we press in? Or do we sit on the curb and watch the parade of Jesus and His disciples and His followers go past us and just hope that He'll throw out some candy that's healing that we can pick up that lands right in front of us? Trust me, I've been in that parade. Oh, it's way over there. I don't want to bend over and pick it up. Let some other kid with energy get it. And sometimes that's where we are in church. Oh man, let those Pentecostal people, the charismatic people, let them get the healing. I don't get all that crazy stuff. Yes. I don't need all that. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. It depends. Do you need healing? What's our level of energy we want to put in for the healing? Because Jesus, remember, when she touched the hem of the garment, He was zapped. Whew, I felt power go out of me. His energy level was taken away. It took effort and it took energy out of Him to heal others. And again, as we read, but several chapters later, those things were happening as well. Mark chapter 9. Let's flip over there real quick. And we have another healing situation. And this is very similar. Where there was a boy that was sick. And Jesus, in verse 23, Jesus tells the Father, He says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And I think this is where most of us are in the Father's response, and we've done messages over this as well, and said, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. What does that mean? It says, God, I believe. I'm in church. I believe. But God, where I'm questioning and where I'm weak and where I'm missing the full faith, would you restore that? Would you give me that? Would you fill in that gap, Lord? Would you help that area that I still do not believe? And healing may be part of it. God, I believe in what you did. I believe in what you can do. I'm just not sure, Lord, if I believe you can and will do it for me. Some people say, I don't come to church because I don't want to fake it. I don't want to fake like everything's great. Good, would you join the rest of us miserable souls here in church and find some healing? Find some people that may be able to show you some compassion and comfort. The Bible tells us, I was able to comfort because you showed me comfort in my time of need. And I get that we may not want to put our full stuff out on display for everybody to see. I get that. Nor do I think it's necessary, by the way. But it's for you and God to work through and deal with. I don't want you to fake it either. But I want you to come and say, is there a way out of this? Lord, heal me. I believe. But would you help my unbelief, Lord? You know, I'm going to read this scripture. I have it in there because I just believe it might pertain to some people that are either here or listening or wherever. Or you can share it with someone. And it's out of 2 Kings. If you'll turn there real quick. 2 Kings, it's in the first part of the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 20. And I questioned whether I'd bring this in or not, but I just feel it's necessary for what we're talking about. Because sometimes we don't realize healing that has happened, or we don't acknowledge it. 2 Kings chapter 20. Verse 1 through 7. And we'll close with this. And it says, in those days, 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 through 7. I've got to check myself a few times to make sure we're good on the giving the right scripture out. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and he said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. I'm thankful messengers don't knock on our door with that same message necessarily. But then he said, he turned his face toward the wall and he prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. We think of great preachers. We think of Billy Graham. Did Billy Graham die? What? The Lord took one of his greatest advocates. Yes, we all die. That's part of it. And I can't imagine that. And he says, set your house in order. And he said, Lord, please, I've been loyal to you. The king is praying and saying, come on, man. Remember, I pray and I walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart. And now he's sad. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him saying, return. Go back to Hezekiah and tell him, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. Let me read that one more time. Go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. And I will deliver you and the city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. Then Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. So they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. I want to close with this. You may or may not be aware of your illness, your disease, your affliction. You may not have a warning like that from God or His messenger. Likewise, you may or may not be aware that the Lord has extended your life further than He was planning. We have to understand and look for the Lord working in our lives. You may or may not be aware that the Lord has already extended your life or the life of a loved one further than He originally planned. And that could have happened because of a couple things. That could have happened because of your prayers and your change of life. That could have happened because of the prayers of other people praying over you. And likewise, you praying over other people may have impacted what the Lord has decided to do with them. And there's these little things throughout the Bible that we think, oh my goodness, we could miss that. And I thought as we talk about healing, it's just important to point those things out. Hezekiah, you shall get your house in order, for you shall die and not live. That sounds pretty positive to me. The Lord's made up His mind. Okay. Well, I'm going to head out. Now it says, and it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle of the court. Adam got out in the parking lot. I said, whoa. Run back in there and tell your people. Tell my people, God's people, sorry. Tell my people, tell my leader, tell them here's what they need to do. Do this and I will heal you and I will add another 15 years to your life. Now the Lord may have picked a different amount, 5 years, 25 years. We have to look for God's work because it's so easy to get this huge list of negatives in our life and things not going our way. What is going your way? How many of you walked to church today? Oh, okay. Because in other countries, in other parts of this town, people are walking to church. He's provided a vehicle. How many of you slept in a cardboard box or on a park bench last night? Man, I thought you were raising your hand over there. You're just fixing your glasses. I thought, we got someone slept on a park bench. Come see me afterwards. We'll help you out. We have to recognize God's wondrous works. And that's out of Psalm as well. Recognize and acknowledge God's wondrous works. And we have to do that before others as well. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks today for the healing You have done in the body of believers, both in this body and universally. God, we ask that we're aware of those things You mentioned in Your Word, the faith and the belief and the action that is required. Father, we thank You for the work of Your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, who died for our healing. Lord, today I pray that You hear the calls, the cries of Your people. Father, that You hear our pleas and You see us in our desperation. Lord, for those people that need to humble themselves and bow down before You, Lord, that they would take action to do that. That pride would not keep them from healing. Lord, we pray for healing in Your land today. physical healing, emotional, mental, spiritual healing, Lord, that you would heal your body. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.